Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel according to John, from the third chapter, starting with verse 14. It's kind of a mid-Lenten season excursion into the Gospel of John. So let us hear some of these familiar words, but also allow it to fall upon our ears afresh, that we may hear what God is saying to us today. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, on this Sunday in the season of Lent, as we journey through the wilderness, drawing ever closer to the final days of Jesus' life, we are called to reflect upon our own journeys, upon our own possibilities of responding to your call to be followers of Jesus, that we may make disciples in this world. Encourage us in this word today to be reminded of what our tasks are and what our tasks are not. Remind us who you are and who we are, that we may continue to grow in faith and faithfulness by your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So let me set this text up for you. So last week, if you were here with us, we read from the Gospel according to John, where John wrote very early in the Gospel about Jesus cleansing the temple, that Jesus, you know, constructed a whip and drove out the livestock, the cattle from the temple courts, and overturned the tables, really causing a disruption in what was going on in that space, in a way of us being reminded that sometimes we need a disruption in our life to get us out of our own ways, that we may follow Jesus faithfully and better understand who God is. And after seeing this, one of the key faith leaders at the time was Nicodemus. And there was this... There were issues about publicly engaging with Jesus to ask questions that may challenge the religious powers and principalities. And so Nicodemus goes to Jesus in the darkness of night. And here they're having a very intimate, personal conversation. This isn't like Jesus preaching on the mountainside or on the plain or in the boat on the sea, you know, the shore of the sea. But this is a conversation that we are almost eavesdropping in between Nicodemus and Jesus. And Nicodemus is saying, what is this about eternal life? Like, what does this even mean? And so here we get to some of the words that are so familiar to us. But we forget that Jesus is instructing Nicodemus that you have to be born anew, that you have to be born of the Spirit, born again. And Nicodemus is like, what do you mean? But I've already been birthed. I can't be born again, right? I've already come from my mother. I'm X amount of years old. What does this even mean? And Jesus is actually speaking to a spiritual rebirth, a spiritual renewal. And that we hold also in context of the fact that John, the prophet that, prophet sent, to prepare the way for Jesus, a prophet hadn't been heard for over 400 years. And here he's proclaiming, repent and believe that the one who is coming after me is the one that you are seeking. And so John baptized with water, right? A symbol of repentance and being washed clean. But John was very clear to say, the one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So when we come to the water in our own baptisms, we are baptized and we call upon the Holy Spirit and we are washed clean and yet invited with the gift of the Holy Spirit, incorporated into God's family, and then we are able to grow. It is the heartbeat of our call as disciples, as followers of Jesus, that we are powered by the Holy Spirit, right? So this sets this up, and so Nicodemus is wrestling with this, and then they get into a little bit of the actions of what does that mean to be a follower and, of Jesus and to receive the Holy Spirit. And then we have this so incredibly familiar passage, and I mentioned it last week as well, but how many of y'all have like turned on the TV or been at a sporting event? You've seen a poster that all that's written on there is John 3:16. Right? And so we know that passage, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. If nobody can quote scripture anywhere else, chances are they're going to know that one. Because we have directed that to pointing to a truth, a fundamental notion about who God is and who Jesus was and why Jesus had come into the world. To show us clearly and deeply the depth of God's love for us. To be willing to send his son, who was fully in flesh, embodying all of the things of humanity, and yet divine, to show us a different way, a new path to true life, that it can be lived now and not just some future reality, and now and in the future, right? And we like to stop at that, for God so loved the world, that we often don't keep reading. Because that makes us feel good. That passage makes us feel good. But I want to focus in on that the next passages, because they're important. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved. It's not just about the individuals being saved. It is about the whole world being fully reconciled unto God. Because you see, creation had gotten off course. That includes humanity, includes the earth, the whole world, because of the introduction of sin, that sin was not meant to be. And it is sin that separates us from this perfect, ideal relationship with God. And yet God does not condemn us. God desires for us to be saved. Desires for us to be made right. And then we keep reading. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. So whose action is it to condemn the world? Does God condemn the world? No. And we are not called to condemn the world either. And we are not called to condemn one another. We are called to embody the love of God that was intended to save us all from condemnation, from the separation, from the sins that have separated us from this right relationship of God. And then Jesus goes into this comparison to light and dark. And I want to be very careful about how we focus on light and dark, because oftentimes light is good and dark is bad. And then that can be extrapolated to people, right? And that is not what this is intended to be. The Gospel of John uses binaries, light and dark, belief, unbelief, right? And so there we have this comparison between what God asks of us and what God does not want of us. And when I think about light and just this idea that we are called to live into the light, it's the light of Christ that we all carry. How many of you have seen the movie The Neverending Story? Right? And he's in the attic space, you know, frantically reading the story and how the light is escaping from the world. And it all comes back down to, but you can save it. And all that is left is what? This little itty bitty tiny bit of light. And then that light begins to grow, right? And then it expands and this world is recreated. And that's what I kind of think about, that little itty-bitty kernel of light that maybe Melissa holds and Gabrielle holds, right? And I'm looking over here at celebrations with children, and we all hold that little bit. But what happens if you start to put that little bit together? We combine our little bits of light. Does the light get brighter? Yeah. The light gets fuller. It shines a little bit farther. It casts out farther into the world. And yet there are times when we shine light on things, it means that we're revealing some kind of truth. Right? How many of you have been in a circumstance to be like, man, I was really kept in the dark about that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, I had no idea. I was really kept in the dark, right? Because something is happening, and then you find out something, and you're utterly shocked or surprised, and you're like, well, why didn't anybody tell me? You know, well, maybe it wasn't yours to know at that time. But what is yours to know at this time is that God is a God of love, that God is a God of light, that God is a God who does not condemn the world and calls us to remember that it is not our job to condemn the world either, but calls us to share the light of Christ that we all have with one another and into the world. Just a little bit goes a long way, doesn't it? So are we lovers of that light? Do we cling to it as the core of who we are? Do we carry it out so that others can see it? Or do we hide it under a bushel? It makes me think of that little song that I love to sing with preschoolers. This little light of mine. Yeah, Jane's back there singing, I'm gonna let it shine, right? And there's this part where it says, hide it under a bushel or a basket. What do we say? No. And I would like over-exaggerate the no, right? And the kids would giggle and laugh because it was the best part of it all, right? You know, hide it under a bushel, basket. No. Isn't Jesus calling out the big no to us today? Yeah. Because the depth of God's love is so deep, so wide, so expansive, There's no way for us to say no to that. May we all say yes to that. May we all be lovers of the light that is Christ Jesus, the light that we all can carry into the world so that the world will know a God of love, a God of grace, a God of mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.